So I've been there, and I'm sure many of you have been there through. I'm talking about doing the Jacob thing, right? Keeping God at arm's length and messing up my life and breaking promises and running into my own Labans. So it's not that difficult for us as we were walking and are walking through the story of Jacob to identify a little bit with Jacob. But then comes this moment at the Jabbok, and it's a little different. And read with me some of that from Genesis 32. We're going to read verses 22 to 31, but I'm just going to go up to verse 25 first and then read the rest later. So that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with a man. Let's just stop there for a second. Lots of questions and not that many answers, right? Was this man really God that wrestled with Jacob? And did Jacob prevail then against God? And if Jacob prevailed, why was the hip out of socket? And if it was God, a little later in the story we'll read, why does God ask Jacob his name? So more questions than answers often when we just read this, just this superficial reading at first. But then I got thinking, and I thought to myself, maybe we should read the story differently and realize that the story of Jacob and the story of Jabbok is actually my story too. My Jacob story and my Jabbok story. Jabbok is that moment where I've given it all and I've given everything that I have. And all my power and everything I've put in that just to realize that it's still not good enough. Jabbok is that parent standing in the waiting room of the hospital. It's the alcoholic waking up in a room filled with empty bottles. Jabbok is that habit, that bad habit that I can't break. Jabbok is that fear that I can't overcome. Jabbok is that moment when I hear God say, I am your only hope. Depend on me. And after struggling with God for hours and days, I come to the moment where I surrender. Jabbok is that moment when I lose my strut and my strut becomes a limp. And I stagger towards my Esau, but not in my own strength, but this time in God's strength and in God's grace. So against this backdrop, I'm going to talk about all these things. Let me take you back to the story. So it started 20 years ago when Jacob left home, and all he had was his staff and his clothes and maybe a little food that his mother gave him. Now, after 20 years, he's returning to Canaan with his four wives. Yeah, I know two of them were called handmaidens, but many of the sons came from them. Four wives, 11 sons, one daughter, dozens of servants, and herds of animals. Completely different man. Now, I don't know how often he would have thought about his brother Esau in the last 20 years when he wasn't there. But I'm sure as he now was getting closer and closer to where he wanted to go, He reminded himself that the last time he and his brother saw each other, his brother said to him, I'm surely going to kill you. And he must have been wondering whether Esau had changed his mind. Because here's the thing. For Jacob to get where Jacob wanted to go, he needed to go through Esau's country. And Jacob, for all his cunning, wasn't all that sure that even he would be able to pull that off. But in typical Jacob style, he was going to do that. And then there's this amazing moment. The first time that we read this, where it physically says that, in verse 9 to 11, it says, and Jacob prayed. He prayed at last. And then he says, oh God, God of Abraham, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, please help me, because without you, Lord, I am toast. And right, I can't help but laugh, right after the moment where he says, Lord, help me or else I'm toast, Jacob is just Jacob again, and Jacob starts doing Jacob's own thing. He sends 600 animals with six different groups, six different servants to his brother to appease his brother. That's just Jacob. I'll take care of things. I'll do it myself. And then, of course, where we started reading, sends his family across, hopefully that those who would appease and his family would at least get away. Jacob stays behind alone at the Jabbok. And that's where we walk into the story with all of its questions, because there in the middle of the night, a man comes and wrestles with Jacob. The man is later identified in verse 30, which we'll read a little later, as God. So what's this all about? Did Jacob really, as we read, wrestle with God and prevail? The easy and the short answer is yes. But here's the thing, that's not a good thing. Because you see, Jacob was used to depending on Jacob. Jacob was used to taking care of Jacob. Jacob's strength was Jacob's strength. So Jacob wrestles, and God allows Jacob to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle until Jacob comes to the end of kind of the strength. And then in one moment, God gently touches his hip. And Jacob would limp for the rest of his life. You see, in that moment, when God lets Jacob prevail and then just touches him, God shows Jacob how weak he really was, even though Jacob thought that he prevailed. And God was teaching Jacob this lesson, that the only one that you can depend on, Jacob, even when you thought you prevailed, is me. I'm the only one that you can depend on. Can I ask you this? Have you ever been in the mud of the Jabbok, where you've tried it all and you thought you did your best and it all came to nothing? Where you thought, I can save my career. All I need to do is to work a little harder, burn more midnight oil, get more clients, do this, do that. And then COVID came and then the economy just fell and things just fell apart. And now you're walking around with a limp. Where your relationship, maybe your relationship is slowly but surely been breaking down, and that bridge is deteriorating, and you're wrestling with your partner, wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. See, the Jabbok's that moment of truth, my friends. It's where the mask comes off. It's that crossroads, that critical moment where I find out that my self-sufficiency is nothing but inefficient. And that all I have is to listen to that voice that says, hold on to me, because I'm the one on who you can depend. I'm the one that can carry you through. I'm the one that can get you to the other side of the Jabbok. And at last, it seems, Jacob got that. Let me take you back to the story, verse 26. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what's your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Israel means something like struggle with God. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel. Peniel is, it's a Hebrew word. Panayim means face, and El is God, so it means face of God. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Don't miss the point here. This is much more than God asking Jacob his name. It's a moment of reflection. It's a moment of confession for Jacob. What's your name? Jacob. Say it again. Jacob. Heel grabber. Trickster. Backstabber. Doing my own thing. Jacob. But in that same moment of confession comes this lifetime of God's grace when God changes his name from Jacob, heel grabber, deceiver, liar, to Israel. The one who is blessed and who will bless. The one who struggled with God and through God now will become a blessing. And Jacob? Jacob, verse 26, asks for the blessing. Bless me. Bless me. No more. I can do this myself. Leave this to me. I can do that. See, throughout his life, Jacob was always competing, battling, and prevailing. But in one moment, God touched his hip. And Jacob becomes that living image of faith on a limp. Where every day as he would go out on that limp, he would be reminded that I cannot depend on myself, but the only one that I can depend on is on God. Here's the thing, my friends. For each one of us to get to our Canaan, wherever our Canaan is, we'll have to cross the Jabbok. And at the Jabbok, we'll have that encounter, and sometimes that encounter with God will leave me with a limp, but that's okay. Because it's always that reminder that I cannot depend on myself, but I can depend on God. The one who met me at my Jabbok. And the one who will walk with me, even when I walk with a limp. Because there at the Jabbok, my name too was changed. My name was changed to beloved, precious child of God. And as I walk in this world, I do not have to prevail in my name, but I prevail in his name. May God be with you as we limp along. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for the story of Jacob and the Jabbok. Thank you for our own stories, for reminding us that we do not have to depend on ourselves and try and prevail in our own strength, because we can't. But you are there. In Jesus Christ, you came into the world and changed our lives. Thank you for walking with us, even if we walk with a limp. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.